Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name's Linda. I'll be your host today. It is Wednesday. It's gorgeous, about 67 degrees here in Oceanside, sunny and blue skies. Thanks, Ron. You saved me because I don't know what's wrong with this stupid computer. And I think it's BTR. I'm not sure, but great to have everybody here. Thanks, Bill, for coming in. Ron, Lonnie, Yo, Mike, everyone else that's listening. Yeah, it's very simple to do. I don't know what happened, but usually I get these little promptings and then it works. But anyway, so thank you for coming in, everyone. And we are brought to us by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamiliesOfTheYS.com. Wonderful people there. And by the way, everyone who has the ability, I know there's people have problems, but that donate button works really well and it goes to CH's account. So everybody who can, just whatever you can afford to keep this thing going. So anyway, thanks, Ron. I know you would take over. It would be great. Then you would have to introduce Ken because he's going to call in a few minutes. And I went with Ken and Lynn. These guys are Vista Tea Party Patriot guys, and they're just wonderful. I went to church with them last Sunday, and I just wanted to read this. And I want everyone, I know you guys are so great because Jolene was put in the hospital yesterday, and I imagine she's not happy being there. So I'm going to pray for Jolene in a minute, and we'll get some intercessory prayers. When two or more are praying and gathered in his name, this will work. So let's see. I'm going to make sure. He got sound. I hope everyone has that. Yeah, I know. IRS is grateful. That's true. He's making me laugh now. So this one, and you guys can tell me the verse and stuff. I just got this from the little prayer book that we had and the book we had at church. And it says, Jesus said, the first commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so that's really something to remember. Also, everybody, we'll just do a little quick one for Bill and Jolene. And dear Lord, we ask in your name to heal Jolene, give her the strength. And everyone in this chat room is praying together as one. And we want her to heal, and we want her to do what they tell her within reason and get on the mend and get out of that hospital and just be her lovely, feisty self at home with her dear husband, Bill, and we love him too. So in Jesus' holy name, we pray, amen. So we got to get that going. My friend Ken is supposed to call in a few minutes. Hopefully they haven't forgotten. I think it'll be just a few. So great, you guys. I'm glad everybody was hanging in there. So anyway, until they call, basically what I have is, I was going to just start on, I'll do some of this next week too. I wanted to do the information on, let's do this one. Because I was reading from good old Creature from Jekyll Island, and it's real imperative. There was so much going on with the Civil War that you and I never learned in school. So there was also probably one of these roundtable groups that they'd spoken about before, and this was at this time the Knights of the Golden Circle. And this order was a secret organization, like they all seem to be, dedicated to revolution and conquest. And let's see, two of its better-known members were Jesse James and John Wilkes Booth. So these are things to keep in mind as you go forward with this. And they were talking, of course, later after this sentence of the assassination of Lincoln. And the summary of this chapter, you guys have to read this book. It's just amazing. It is time now to leave this tragic episode and move along, so let us summarize. America's bloodiest and most devastating war was fought not over the issue of freedom versus slavery, but because of clashing economic interests. At the heart of this conflict were questions of legalized plunder, banking monopolies, and even European territorial expansion into Latin America. The boot print of the Rothschild formula is unmistakable across the graves of the American soldiers on both sides. In the North, neither greenbacks, taxes, nor war bonds were enough to finance the war, so a national banking system was created to convert government bonds into fiat money, and the people lost over half of their monetary assets to the hidden tax of inflation. In the South, printing presses accomplished the same effect, and the monetary loss was total. The issuance of the Emancipation Proclamation by Lincoln and the naval assistance offered by Tsar Alexander II were largely responsible for keeping England and France from intervening in the war on the side of the Confederacy. Lincoln was assassinated by a member of the Knights of the Golden Circle, a secret society with rumored ties to American politicians and British financiers. Gee, I wonder who those financiers would... Oh, I think that would be the Rothschilds. Tsar Alexander was assassinated a few years later by a member of the People's Will, a nihilist secret society in Russia with rumored ties to financiers in New York City. Boy, these guys are all in bed together, aren't they? Specifically, Jacob Schiff and the firm Kuhn, Loeb and Company. As for the creature of central banking, there had been some victories and some defeats. The greenbacks had for a while deprived the bankers of their override on a small portion of government debt, but the National Banking Account Banking Act quickly put a stop to that. Furthermore, by using government bonds as backing for the money supply, it locked the nation into perpetual debt. The foundation was firmly in place, but the ultimate structure still needed to be erected. The monetary system was yet to be consecrated into one central bank mechanism, and the control was yet to be taken away from the politicians and placed into the hands of the bankers themselves. It was time now for the creature to visit Congress, and that's kind of where that was. Yes, well, anyway, so Bolsheviks, you're so funny, CH. Okay. Anyway, so I'm going to go through until my people call in, so hopefully in the next few minutes. I was going to go through some of the situations because we haven't done a study on this, and just to go through the what I call the Ten Commandments of the Constitution, that is the first 10 Bill of Rights. And we'll start with Amendment 1, and it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now let's stop there with that comma. Who shall make no law? Congress. Not you and me, of course we don't make laws anyway, but they are the ones constrained by these words in this document, not you and I. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion because they did not want a theocracy, a national religion like the Church of England, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So they have no way, they are constrained by the chains of this, they cannot prohibit the free exercise of what we want to do, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people, peacefully to assemble, which the NDAA seems to have forgotten about that, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. It's funny that this particular amendment is like on one of the buildings out there in D.C. as we took pictures of it. It's like huge. It's probably 3 or 4 stories up. It looks like it is anyway, or maybe at least 2.5. And this is giant, and this whole amendment is it's in front of the press building. It's engraved in stone. Do you think they read it? I think they've forgotten how to read. So then we come to Amendment number 2. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to secure to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. I don't see anything in here about muskets. I don't see anything in here about hunting knives, crossbows. It doesn't say anything about any kind of rifles or shotguns or things that you go skeet shooting with. I don't see anything here about caliber. I don't see anything about how you load a gun. Nothing. Oh, yeah, fire engines. I like that one. They can order those. Doesn't say anything about fire engines, but I know what that means. Doesn't say anything about other grains either, but I'm sure we're allowed to have other grains according to this. So anything that goes against this, and I do believe that Mikey had mentioned this on one of his shows, and he is correct, all 50 states are in violation of this amendment in this Constitution because they have all made laws pertaining to this and screwed around with it and said, okay, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have this restriction, you have to register that. Bull. Doesn't say anything about registering anything. So they can all pound it. Believe me, we have to stop complying with all this stuff. Amendment number 3. Now, they haven't done it yet, but I think they're about to. No soldier shall, comma, in time of peace, be quartered in any house, comma, without the consent of the owner, comma, nor in time of war, comma, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So they are not supposed, yes, I know, shall not be infringed, exactly, so they can figure it out when we start using our power against them, because we do have it. So, in fact, this was another little footnote. It says, the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, which is my 10 commandments, were ratified effective December 15th, 1791. Number 4, and they've been violating this one, the NSA violates it, the schmucks and the DHS, the TSA, they all do it. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, that means your body, your clothing, your shoes at the airport, your houses, your papers, or any effects and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, comma, and no warrants shall be issued or issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, which would be signed by a judge, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So all of this, you people, like I said, if you know your rights, you have them, and you had better stand by them and start. I'm carrying these around with me, and if anyone starts hassling me, I'm pulling it out too. I'm going to say, can you read? Hello? And we have Amendment 5. All of these are extremely important. I don't think I put any one of these above the others. I think they're all equally important, just like the Ten Commandments. Amendment 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, that's double jeopardy, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, that's the standing on the fifth, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This is very important. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. I have heard Judge Napolitano speak on this at length. Amendment number 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Although at this stage of the game, I'd rather defend myself instead of having these clowns, the barristers, do it. Amendment number 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That's another important one we need to start showing these clowns. And the 10th one, another one of my favorites. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, comma, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Always back to us. So now I'm waiting for my caller, so if you folks want to call in, please do so, because I had not prepared a huge show. 646-378-0321. Anyone and everyone, Bill, if you want to talk, say a prayer for Jolene, anybody that wants to, Lonnie, please call in. And Ron, of course, and Mikey, just give me your thoughts on what I've talked about so far. Thanks for putting that in, Bill. We've got the number on the screen. And I want to welcome the guests. I've got everybody here that's really cool. Hopefully Rod Luke's one of those. I don't know if he is because he's having trouble getting in as a inside of it. Mike says, the fact that you need to register handguns with the state is a violation of the Second Amendment. And these people doing it, you see, they don't read, Mike. They don't even know. Okay, let me pick up Ron here while we're waiting for others to call. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in here messing with Mikey a little bit.
I'm so happy that you gave me that thing that for some reason I wasn't getting prompted to click on a deal and let me go through. I don't know what was happening. It was
yeah,
weird.
And you know, it depends on what browser you're using. I know on AOL, okay. I cannot use my Skype to call in. That's why I'm on Chrome right now instead.
Okay. Let me pick up my friend Ken real quick because I know
he's... Oh, awesome.
But we're going to have fun because you can ask him questions and I had a few myself. So I want to invite Ken from Vista Tea Party Patriots. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fine. We're just getting started and we're having a good time. I've got a great group of people. This is Ken Happel from Vista. He's just wonderful with the church I went to, also with the Tea Party Patriots, and he's got some stuff for us, I believe, on voting and also on a certain way possibly to take down OCARE.
Yep.
Go ahead. Sure.
All right, well, great. Well, let me first introduce what we've been doing, just kind of a background. I was the guy who got the permit for the National March in 2009 in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And helped get the 2.5 million people there and helped us keep from being thrown out of the D.C. Mall.
Cool.
Demonstrating against your government at the National Mall is not a good idea. That they frown on that.
Well, I'll tell you what was really funny was I was working with Chief Lucas, who's the fire chief for special events in the Washington area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was expected to be like an 85-degree day, right?
Wow.
And the first thing he said to me is, are you nuts going to come with squirt guns? And it finally realized, and having a kind of a military intelligence type background, I realized that every roof was full of snipers, and all some joker had to do was to have a plastic squirt gun.
Right.
And we would have a real news story.
Yeah, not a good one. Okay.
But anyway, since then it was clear to us that, first of all, the GOP didn't care. And that was structural. Secondly, that most of the people that were part of the initial Tea Party were not libertarians or conservatives or almost any other label you could think of. They were mostly people who were just horrendously concerned about what they saw going on and had never been to a political anything before.
Wow.
And that leads people to two distinct problems. First of all, everybody who thought they had the answer immediately thought that we had all woken up and agreed with them.
Right.
Which wasn't true. And secondly, for the very first time, the silent majority looked around and said, God, we really aren't alone.
Amen.
And that combination was rather unique, probably since the original Tea Party, because I'm sure the original Tea Party people were probably 5 minutes after they'd done it just as shocked by what they'd done as anything else that had happened recently.
Wow.
Because most of the time when you risk your family, your life, your fortune, your honor, and everything else, you probably weren't thinking so clearly at that moment.
True. So,
but 10 minutes afterwards, you go, did I do something right? And most people in the Tea Party movement thought yes. And then all of us began to discover what being conservative looks like to people who aren't conservative.
Sure.
At least not in the sense that they called themselves conservative. because I'm further right than Genghis Khan politically, but it never dawned on me that I was a conservative. And I'd never been to a political anything because of my background under the National Security Act. I'd be the last person who'd show up in a public anything. But what was most interesting to me is that there was a lady, I was the chief medical officer there because I have a first responder's license. And I was fixing a lady's foot who had a blister, and she was a very sweet lady with a beautiful southern drawl. And it was about 5:10 in the afternoon, and there had been 2.5 million people tailgating on the mall. I mean, people had hibachis out, they were barbecuing, right? And she says, "Look." And I looked up, and most of the people had gone, and the mall looked like it had been vacuumed. I mean, there wasn't a cigarette wrapper or a cigarette butt right. or anything. And she says, "You see, we good people, we comes to clean up a mess, and we cleans up our own as well."
Cute.
Well, but the point was perfect. That people who were there were primarily people who saw the lack of integrity in what was happening in Washington and became suddenly truly worried about the state of the nation, but had no political context for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
These right. weren't cynical old politicos who were seeing this. These were people who go to church on Sunday, vote religiously, literally, trying to figure out who the best candidate is, and it never occurred to them that if they did what they thought was their duty as a citizen, that it wouldn't make any difference because there were people who were not interested in the citizen process manipulating the political spectrum.
Sure.
So it was very interesting from that point of view because I came back to Vista, and when we got back to Vista, all of the dirty tricks that we experienced were caused by people affiliated with the Republican Party.
Not surprising.
It totally floored me. You know, I thought, wow, the progressives will come out. The liberals will come out, you know. It never occurred to me the GOP elephant will sit on me. And they would say things like, you need to cease and desist. You need to come to our, I don't know, Republican Women's Federation meetings, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And we slowly began to realize that there was a fundamental problem occurring, and that problem wasn't just governance and the people in Washington, but it had to do with us as well. And what that really meant, what I really mean when I say that is that the process of trying to alter the American government is a process of trying to win the hearts and minds of Americans. And it, first of all, never occurred to us that we needed to do that. And second, it never occurred to us what the real mechanics of party politics are. So by the time we got around to 2010, our little Tea Party here in Vista with its 60 members recruited about 200 other volunteers, and we arranged a 500,000 phone calls on behalf of J.D. Hayworth, Sharon Engel, and candidates in California, and Scott Walker in Wisconsin.
Right.
And by 2012, that list of volunteers was zero. And they had all become part of Republican groups who were meeting and having wonderful meetings, but doing nothing. And it took a while to realize that there were three things happening. The first is that the Tea Party was very, very fundamental in allowing the silent majority to see that we were not alone and we could make a difference. But it was not very useful in terms of none of us realized how little we actually understood the legislative process and how bills actually get created and what you actually have to do to change things.
So,
and the third one was is that a whole bunch of us were very confused and actually thought that you could change things from within the Republican Party. And that turned out to be completely not true. To give you an idea how strange things occurred in 2012, the Republican Party actually told us that they did not intend to contest California politically. And the
Great.
Person who was our gubernatorial candidate turned out to be the person who provided the seed funding for the eco-justice movement and the eco-job czar of the Obama administration. You may remember him. He was the guy who became a communist in prison.
Not Van Jones?
Yeah, Van Jones.
Oh, okay.
She actually
oh, yeah.
funded his initial movement. So we had a mainline environmental, I don't know, progressive, maybe Wacko. Even further left than that, as the Republican candidate for governor.
Wow.
So that was, first of all, a shock. The second thing that we realized is that she had enough money to buy the entire election. I am, honey.
That was my wife.
She's listening in on this as well.
I know.
Hi,
Lynn.
For all the guys in the audience, you know that the ladies run our universes.
Ken.
So she was telling me that I need to make sure that I talk about our republic, and I will.
Ken,
but
it's
important to understand that by the time we got to where I'm talking about, we realized that the first thing that we had no access to were the types of voting tools that the Republican Party traditionally has. The second thing that happened was that we discovered, to our complete amazement, that after working with the Republican Party for years and years and years and years, it turned out that they were not at all interested in welcoming all these new volunteers into their clutches because we weren't docile. And that turned out to be an exceptionally bad deal. The third thing that happened is that we ourselves didn't have the political understanding or a political understanding that was sufficient to win elections. And so two things happened as a result of that. One, a large number of everyday types of Tea Party people left the movement. And I mean millions.
Yep.
And the other thing that happened is that the Tea Party movement went on a publicity and fundraising campaign of the old mailer sort and collected 28 million new paying members. And in fact, suddenly the Tea Party Patriots emerged as the largest membership group of any of the political parties, except that it's not a party. But they did do something smart. They tried to help every state set up a lobbying group so that we would have an inside or an insider view of what was going on legislatively, without having to wait till somebody else told us or admitted what was going on.
Sure. So can one person ask a question? I know Ron wanted to ask something. Go ahead.
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just wanted to let you know, Ken, I did get an email just a moment ago from NSA. They said you're going to have to put a new 9-volt battery in that smoke detector, and
yeah.
there will be a 30-cent carbon tax added to the disposal of the old one.
I'm just
giving you a hard time. You know, you're absolutely correct. I was a Ron Paul supporter back during the 08 campaign and previously. Having been involved in the politics end of things, I also was a registered lobbyist at my state capitol. When we found out here in Georgia, you can register as a citizen lobbyist.
Right.
You don't have to be attached with any corporation. You know, our ethics committee here in Georgia, they changed the rules to register as a lobbyist. It now costs $400.
Yep.
Sure.
And
well,
it's just ironic that it's in the ethics committee. I mean, you know.
No, you're going to love how similar our pathways probably are.
But you're right. I mean, it gives you more of an inside track.
Look.
Yeah.
To your local state legislation. And what's really crazy is how inane some of this legislation is and how it comes about. Literally, I sat in on more than one committee hearing where it was two neighbors that were feuding over some ridiculous nothing.
Yep.
And it ends up being crafted into a bill, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah. Hatfields and McCoys everywhere.
Yes.
So how? I guess the
Here's
question...
how actually bad it is right now, 2013-14.
Uh-huh.
In California, the Republican Party nominates its candidates by a delegate convention in Sacramento, the state capital. And the delegates come from those officials who were elected or who ran for election but lost. And depending whether you won or lost and which position you were running for, you get a certain number of delegates. Well, this year when they all got together, the funder who was backing the loss, ending of California primary politics, mm-hmm. stood up and said, I've bought 900 of the 1,600 proxy votes. And then he told the state of California what our Republican nominees were going to be.
Great.
And then he voted his 900 votes. Everyone else did whatever they want, but it made no difference.
You know, you're right, because one of the things that I noticed, and I don't think anybody ever really talks about this. This is something that I've not heard anyone verbalizing. You've got a situation where you have two political parties, Democrats and the Republicans. Their bylaws, now they're a private group for all intents and purposes. The Republican Party is a private entity. It's not a government entity of any sort.
No, it's not. It's, in fact, in California, it's a private entity per county.
Exactly. And the same goes for the Democrat Party, but their published bylaws and rules are law in every freaking state. How is that even sanity?
Possible. Yeah.
How is that possible that they get their rules published as law?
Jeez.
That's actually relatively simple to explain. People
well,
like
I know
me,
how it happened,
I don't know about you, but people like me were asleep at the switch.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I thought that as long as I checked out the people I voted for and did that conscientiously, that the system was self-correcting. I was wrong.
You poor, naive young man, you.
Yeah, I got to be 50 when I realized that.
And, you know, anyone that witnessed, anybody that's been involved just a little bit at their local level, mm-hmm. in politics, in what Ken is talking about, and then witnessed the 2012 Republican National Convention, they should have been just ripped out of the frame, pissed off over what happened. And, Georgia, here in Georgia, my district, I was a delegate. I made the state convention. And we were told, point blank, even though it is against the published rules of the National Republican Party, that because Newt Gingrich won a higher percentage of the vote in Georgia, we had to vote for Newt Gingrich regardless of what our political ideology was or what our conscience was. We had to sign a pledge, a contract, that we would vote for Newt Gingrich. And I said, how can they? This is asinine.
Yeah,
first of all, the guy is a Republican
completely.
In name only. He's a complete rhino. I wouldn't vote for that scumbag. And anyway, I don't want to digress. But.
Hey, and Newt is relatively innocent compared to a lot of the others.
Huh.
And that's what has been relatively shocking, is I thought, you know, that most of the stories of misery and woe, well, this person or that person's, like, upset. But,
so Ken,
won't be that bad. Not only was I wrong, but the problem is much worse.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It is. My God, I don't think people really, truly have a grasp.
Comprehend.
On
well, they can't.
How, no, because they're not involved. And, you know, the thing is, it's, what was it, that guy, some smart aleck, posted something in the forum the other day about, conservatives. And I retorted back and I said, yeah, you're right. Oh, he was trying to talk about how there were more liberal left-wing news organizations on television than there were conservative. And I said, yeah, I said, that must explain all of the conservative talk radio programs that are on during rush hour, because all the conservatives are driving home to and from
work
every day, you jackass. And that's the problem. We're all, I mean,
my
honest to God, we're the ones putting the bill. We're going to work
monologue.
Every day. We don't have time to dedicate to be running down to the damn state capitol every week.
Yep.
Right.
And they count on that. And they're winning because of that.
That and the fact they have a stronger structure.
And
because
we're paying their salaries to do all this crap.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it comes with the territory. It's called democracy or constitutional republic or something representative, I thought.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm joking.
That was a
sentence with tongue firmly in cheek.
I was going to say, that was a little tongue-in-cheek sarcasm. I pick up on that. But, yeah,
so
I mean, you know, crying out loud. You hear people talk about how terrible it was that people had to be property owners to vote. But I'm sorry, the founders had it right to begin with. They knew that the bum and the turkeys that want to live off the public teat had no business voting in an election. None. As Obama likes to say, they didn't have any skin in the game.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I get that completely. Of course, there's always the Nevada solution. Do you know what that one is?
What's
you
that?
You drive them out into the middle of the desert and you do a dropping.
So, Ken, you're going to Fresno. What's that going to entail? What's that going to help us with?
Well, we're in the middle of two things. So maybe I could do the next chunk of what I wanted to say.
Okay.
So when we got out of Tea Party as a party mode.
Right.
And looked at what we were doing, we realized that if citizen candidates don't get access to tools, don't get access to the means to run campaigns,
right,
then we're never going to get to win a primary because of the situation I just related.
Sure.
If the delegate structure is always bent so that
right.
the background money architects of the Republican Party run it, then the
there
fact that there are primaries gets everybody heated up about, yeah, we have a say, but in fact says nothing.
Sure. I understand.
Furthermore,
well, yeah.
there's a second problem running in the middle of this that I wasn't aware of earlier either. And that is that not only is what your friend was saying about that the bylaws, I started reading all the bylaws of the party
right.
in California, county by
exactly.
county.
Sure.
And suddenly discovered that the central committees actually have nothing to say.
Wow.
Second thing I discovered is that the state central committee doesn't have anything to say. And thirdly, that the entire, I don't know if people from out of state know this, but in California, primaries are no longer by party. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yep. Anybody can vote in any primary. So the Republican primary is not about Republicans.
Wow. Is that a good thing for us?
And I don't think so, but we'll get into that in just a second. The point is Prop 14 is now national policy of the Republican Party. And there's a reason why. The exact law, what it says is that people can vote in any person, no matter how they're registered to vote by party, can vote in any primary. So
boy,
you
that
could have Democrats
horrid.
Deciding to flood a Republican primary rid of any candidates they don't like.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
And the reason why is the final candidates turn out to be the two that have the highest vote counts, period, no matter what party they belong to. Now, there's a non-obvious gotcha in this. And the non-obvious gotcha is what this really is a poison pill for third parties.
Yep.
Ah.
This was a dedicated move to kill off anything but the Democratic and Republican Party, because by definition, they're the only a priori bodies with enough votes to be able to get candidates of any kind into the final race.
That is correct. And, you know, Ken, we saw, and even, and let's not be misguided, but I agree with you, that's a horrid, I mean, I can't believe that, but here in, even here in Georgia, you can, Georgia has something almost the same. You can switch your registration for primary.
Yep.
Okay? And we had that happen here in Georgia for two Georgia Congress critters.
Yep.
One was Denise Majette and the other was Cynthia McKinney, where you had a bunch of Republicans switch and they registered Democrat or independent so they could vote against Cynthia McKinney in the primary, and she was moved off the ballot, so she wasn't even in the running.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, this is the game, and I don't think people understand how dirty a game. People joke, I hear people all the time, and I joke with them. They're like, oh, you see this football game? I said, nah. I don't watch any sports. I play full contact politics.
Yeah.
And it's true. It is a cutthroat, full contact
game. In fact, that's where I was going to go next. Do you mind if I use that?
No, go right ahead. I got to sneak out for just a second. I'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Okay.
Well, the thing that happened was, the other thing that happened that I didn't understand was that the being a conservative but never having been in conservative political circles,
right.
What I didn't realize is that the conservative political movement are probably more in love with political correctness than anyone else in the country politically.
Jeez. Wow.
The problem is they have their own political correct code.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is?
For example, I ran afoul of a recall election in my local town because conservatives liked the candidate, even though he'd done something that was literally questionable in terms of campaign ethics.
Jeez.
And the interesting thing is that I got castigated and caught in a fight that occurred where conservatives all started talking about who was pure, which candidate was pure, you know, what legislation was pure.
Wow.
And it finally dawned on me that these people have no concept.
Clue.
And I don't even think you have to have a concept before you can have a clue. Because you'd have to know what the clue was pointing at, and they don't.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the individual expression of political identity is more important than what happens to the country as a whole.
Right. So
it's kind of like this. I actually wrote a little song about it.
Uh-huh.
It says, well, you've been praying and you've been saying that this old ship is mighty fine, but she's run aground and now she's sinking, and you want to sing a song as the ship goes down.
Right. It's kind of like the Titanic. Everybody's playing on the deck, right?
That's right. The problem is that we are in a battle for the hearts and minds of our country. Let me give you an example kind of idea, okay? As a Christian, I am completely committed to the concept that, for example, since I believe in the Bible absolutely, in Deuteronomy it says that sodomy is out. A partner of mine in one of my companies who happened to have been in a long-term gay relationship, when we met, he went, well, you're a Catholic, I'm gay. How's this going to work? And I said to him, well, it's pretty simple. In my world, we pray and God delivers you. In your world, you don't grab my ass, I'll never know, and don't care.
Right.
So, here's one of the problems. If you go on Facebook or you look anywhere in the entire discussion that's happening in Facebook about whether the gay agenda has to be submitted to if the Republicans want to win, etc.
Oh, God.
What you miss in the conversation is the following. Marriage has nothing to do with the document that you sign at the county courthouse. The reason only some people are allowed to marry people is that the marriage ceremony is a religious ceremony.
Yep.
Correct.
And so what's now happening is that the gay rights movement has come up with the idea that the solution to their problem is a law which changes the nature of religious practice.
Redefines the term marriage.
Well, doesn't have to. But the point being is when you look at all of that, the thing that conservatives haven't yet figured out how to do, as far as I can tell, at least organized conservatives, is they haven't yet figured out how to actually, especially if they're Christians, to have some compassion, which, as far as I can tell, is outside of loving God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength.
Sure.
The only other thing you're supposed to do is have so much compassion that you treat people with the same love you want yourself. Now, here's an interesting fact. My best friend in life was a Baptist minister who one day was making houses for the homeless in Houston, Texas. When he cut himself with a circle saw, got a blood transfusion, and was one of the first people to die from AIDS. The hospital that gave him the transfusion, once they discovered he had AIDS, wouldn't treat him anymore.
Great.
Now, here's the deal. I could go see him because I was his friend.
Mm-hmm.
His wife could go see him because she was his spouse. But 189,000 gay people who had their partners die in the hospital were not allowed to go. Because the law says that only a spouse or a family member is allowed to see a patient under certain conditions.
So that has nothing to do with gay or straight. That has to do with stupid policies.
There you go.
Well,
the reason that we're probably going to lose this marriage fight is because we're so stupid about what it is we actually are trying to protect that we never actually mention the real issue. The reason I'm upset about gay rights movement attaching themselves to marriage is that marriage is a principally religious occurring.
Correct.
And changing the basis of that religious occurring damages are what is protected by the Second Amendment.
First.
Because most people who quote the Second Amendment know the first part.
First
don't
Amendment.
Establish a national church.
But yeah,
have forgotten all about the that's called the Establishment Clause. They've forgotten all about the second part, which says Congress may pass no law which inhibits the free expression of religious beliefs.
Free exercise, absolutely. I just did that before you came on.
Yeah, so the funny thing about it is this. This partner of mine who is gay actually hates the gay rights movement because they want him to use his relationship as a political statement. Well, all he wants to do is be left alone.
Right.
Correct.
And exactly. And this is the difference between these Luciferian militant, you know, mafia gay nuts.
Yeah, but you got to understand something. Those same people are matched one for one by conservative asshole gay nuts.
There you go.
Well, absolutely. And Linda, this goes exactly to that video I sent you. And the guy says, oh, I get it. I'm not persecuted. I'm just an asshole.
That's right.
But here's I got a question for you, Ken.
Yeah.
Why not? And this blows my mind, and maybe I just need to call, write a letter, get through to him some way. Why can't we get a Republican, like, say, Rand Paul, introduce a bill to have the federal government recognize same-sex unions as equivalent to marriage for tax purposes and for federal benefits purposes? He'd take the wind right out of the sails of the homosexual agenda.
It would be the
agenda.
End of the gay rights movement as it currently exists.
It absolutely would. It'd take the wind right out of their sails.
There are 1,400 protections. What's interesting is California is the state that passed the first civil union law. And what that meant was that domestic partners, you heard that term?
Yep.
Right.
Well, Linda, we invented it out here on the West Coast.
The left.
Right or left. We invented that stupid term, and the problem about it is, yes, now you can go visit your dying partner, but you can't actually get health insurance if they get fired. And you can't leave a pension to them. And you can't, and it goes on and on and on.
Wow.
And you're right. He's absolutely right that if the conservative world understood what it's trying to protect, instead of just being really good at cursing, suddenly discover they have a huge natural electorate waiting for somebody to stop acting like an idiot.
My God, they'd be national freaking heroes for a large segment, not that radical fanatic segment that is always going to try and shake the trees no matter what.
Yep, so here's the thing. We've been now out and we've tried it at churches and we've tried it in public, and guess what? It meets with huge success. And the answer is this. I'm a conservative, and because I believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I will fight to the death to protect gay individuals' rights to equal treatment under the law.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean that they have to subsume marriage. It means that civil unions, which is what they're really talking about, because they don't want to participate in Christian marriage as Christ defined it, because you can't do it unless you erase part of the book.
Exactly.
Well, you really got to understand that church you went to this weekend, Linda, is one of the new Anglican churches in the United States that was created when the Episcopal Church decided to have gay bishops. And all around the world, Anglicans left the Episcopal Church as a mass because of the change in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, but you were actually in an underground movement within the Anglican / Episcopal world.
I think I got some of that.
If we actually believe in the Bible, we can't actually change it. It's either inspired or it isn't.
Right, right. Yeah.
And if we do believe it's inspired, then integrity requires that we witness it.
Exactly. I agree. I mean, you can't change it or add to it.
In America, some 80% of Americans actually espouse to believe basic Bible beliefs. If you provide Christians with a way compassionately to express their fundamental belief in the Word, you give them a way of saying what they need to say to have their own integrity, while giving people who need help gaining those rights the chance to do it. Here's a really funny thing that a lot of people don't understand. Do you know that the words most associated with the Republican Party in its first 100 years was extremist?
Wow. That's funny.
The posters for the first 10 years of the Republican Party's existence all showed people in kind of fedora hats smoking cigarettes with mint juleps. Underneath it said Democratic voter. On the other side of the page was a Jim Crow caricature of a black person looking like, in a very derogatory portrayal, Republican voter. Republicans used to be the socially active party of the United States.
Well, yeah, and they were
the people that were concerned in how the Constitution was going to be interpreted. Would single rich individuals end up owning all the natural resources? Or how is that going to work?
Right. So were they not also the ones who were against the Jim Crow laws and against the KKK and suppressing? That's what I thought.
Absolutely. But you also need to understand that Abraham Lincoln was not going to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Did you know that?
Which one?
The Emancipation Proclamation, freeing the Southern slaves.
I just read about this in... Go ahead.
Well, it's very interesting because I've been a fan of Frederick Douglass for years and years and years. And it turns out my uncle, my father's brother, owned the end of their point on the Rappahannock River in Virginia that this story is about.
Wow.
After Manassas Bull Run, Lee's armies actually got to the Rappahannock River on the Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
They were directly across, a mile away across the water from the Jefferson Memorial. And the Northern Army was pulling itself northward because McClellan had completely screwed up the fight with Lee. If Lee could have gotten across the river, we'd all be part of the Southern states.
Yep.
As he'd have taken Washington. Frederick Douglass provided 1 million black warriors to replenish the soldier supply at that critical moment. And because of that, Abraham Lincoln promised to and did sign the Emancipation Proclamation. But it still left the problem of that was an executive order in wartime.
Yes.
And Lincoln, unlike our current president, realized that under peacetime, those rights don't exist. So he had to champion the 13th Amendment so that, or the 14th, I've forgotten which. But anyway, he had to champion the Equal Rights Amendment so that under peacetime, blacks would be freed from slavery in the North and the South. Otherwise, you'd simply have the cotton gin exploitation of blacks in the North happening all over again. I don't know if you know what I just said. The slavery business really didn't take off until the cotton gin was invented. And suddenly you needed workers not for the field, but for the industrial enrichment of the cotton process, or processes.
Okay.
Whitney's cotton gin. So suddenly there was a business where children of slaves in the North were being sold to farmers in the South.
Well,
And the farmers in the North didn't want to give that up, and the slave owners in the South obviously saw this as a source of indigenous labor units. Most Americans don't even realize that the last successful prosecution of a case of slavery in the United States was in 1957, not 18.
Okay.
Kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah.
The point is that if you go down in our town, the section where there are concentrations of African American culture,
sure,
and you start to talk about the Republican Party's history in the freeing and in fighting for the legitimate aspirations of black Americans, they're completely amazed. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Where did you come from?
I've read Right. I've read these stories from David Barton on, it's called American History in Black and White, talking about the Republicans versus Democrats back in the day of that time, especially after the emancipation and what was going on with the KKK, who was doing what, how the Republican Party was actually helping the black people, and Frederick Douglass understood that. But I'm also reading about the situation before the Civil War and what was actually causing the Civil War. So that's another whole story. I'll get to you on that later. I have about 1 minute and 20 seconds left, and I want to thank you so much for calling in. It's just amazing to have some of these talks, and one of these days you're going to call back again, maybe on the second half of my show, and talk about how we're going to get rid of Obamacare, because I'm really interested
in hearing
that.
Absolutely. We have found if you look at and evaluate Obamacare's effect upon industry using the Taft-Hartley laws that protect us from monopolies, it turns out that Obamacare gets a no pass.
Good. That's what we need to hear.
Here's the key you can set to people. If you live in the state of Connecticut, there are no hospitals which will take you as a Obamacare patient.
Oh, my God. Wow. You got out
there
just in time,
Mike. There are whole states. San Diego has 6 obstetricians.
I know. Tell me.
That's it. Anyway, we'll talk about that next. Bye-bye.
Okay, be blessed. See you Sunday. Okay. God bless to everybody.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to be running out of time in about 2 seconds here. They're going to cut me off. Bill, give my blessings to Joe. Ron, if you're still up there and he can hear, good night. Loved having you call in and banter about with Ken. Mikey B, we're going to do Friday night show with you. And God bless, and I'll see you guys in the chat room.